Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Nick, and I'm here with my co-host, Terry, and this is Hell No, the radio show. Hell No, the radio show is a socially conscious water cooler talk show about what's going on in the world as we feature guests and callers who express their thoughts. Hell No is friendly, it's funny, it's real, and it's focused on empowering the truth. We do is we give a voice to people who feel left in the dust. This program is a lot of things, but it's not democratic, it's not fascist, it's not politically correct, or a place for sacred cows. What we do is we advocate for peace, critical thought, education, reading, and social awareness. So go ahead and write down this telephone number and call me and Terry to share your thoughts on our discussions during topics on tonight's Hell No episode. Telephone number is area code 718-508-9419. Then when you're prompted, dial option number 1. The telephone number again is 718-508-9419. Hell No is a one-hour show, and we take calls in the order we receive them, so please sit tight. Want to let you all know that we can receive an email anytime at hellnoradioshow@gmail.com. And all of our episodes, past episodes, just click and listen to them. They're on Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com. Hell No, the radio show, and follow us on Twitter at Hell No Radio Show. We're really easy to find. All y'all got to do is just put in Hell No, the radio show in any internet search engine and find our wonderful topics. And most of the shows make a lot of sense and are funny, and they're great. We love doing them. We do them for everybody out there, and they're brought to us by and help with our sponsors, and Terry's going to tell us about them now.
Well, of course, our very long-term favorite friend sponsor, Miss Jane Flint, body worker and massage therapist extraordinaire. She is quite simply as good as they get. She has over 35 years of experience in the field of massage and body work and physiotherapy. She is quite simply amazing. If you've never had a professional massage, trust me, it's a wonderful experience as long as the person who's doing it has experience. In her case, she's just, as I said, the best of the best. Many celebrities have requested her over the years and have flown her around and about to do work with them and work on them. She works out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She's only a couple blocks off the freeway. And as I'm fond of saying, if you're within 100 miles, go see her. It's worth the trip. Plus, if you mention our show, we'll give you $10 off your first appointment. She is ever so well schooled in massage therapy and body work and stretching. What I will tell you is that if you need relaxation therapy, she can do it. If you need remedial stuff, she can do it. If you need specialized work, she can do it. She's had any number of clients who have had catastrophic illness problems, and she's been an incredible benefit to people with muscular dystrophy, people with other genetic illnesses that nothing else helps. And she has been very innovative in the field as well. She's located at 10335 West Oklahoma Avenue in Milwaukee. That's 10335 West Oklahoma Avenue. And her phone number is 414-321-9030. 414-321-9030. Give her a call, make an appointment, and call us and let her know how you liked it. And let us know how you liked it. Well, let everybody know how you liked it. What the heck? Hi, Nick.
Hi, Terry.
Well, another week, another 25 cents. And I just had my annual hurricane experience. Thankfully, it isn't annual, but man, we got hit hard. In 2004, we went through three large hurricanes almost right in a row, and they were severe. This one was nowhere near as severe, and yet it did far more damage. Not sure why that was, but I think it had to do with some of these microburst tornadoes that were spawned by it. In 10 hours, we got 7.5 inches of rain. So we got clobbered, and many, many, many big trees down. This one took out a lot of trees, and a lot of them were snapped off halfway up. So I've been a busy boy, to say the very least. Me and my chainsaw got quite a workout, and my hammer, and my axe, and my machete, and all the other fine tools. So, with that kind of preamble, let's go to something completely different.
You know, what, the one thing I will say about that, before we leave that topic, though, of the hurricane, is I was very glad to see that it didn't hit the it didn't hit the coast. It didn't hit shore until it was in, what, North Carolina. And so that's good. And it seems like a lot of people are prepared. It seems like more people are taking these storms seriously, especially after Sandy and Katrina. You know, there's always a few holdouts, but you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, get a brain in their head and they take off and they're safe, so that's good. Good for them.
Well, hurricanes are very interesting phenomena, and they come in a, you know, a lots of different shapes and forms. The one thing to never underestimate is how dangerous they are, but the other thing is don't sit there in mortal terror either. That causes bad decisions and causes you to do stupid things. Isn't much of anything that would move me off my property during a hurricane, unless I saw something that was Category 4 or 5 that was going to be right there. You just ride it out. You do all the right things. You get some water. Make sure you get some ice. Make sure you got a good generator. Make sure you understand the atmospherics of it so that you know when you should have windows open, when you shouldn't. Protect your glass and your windows if that's necessary. Pick up stuff around the house. I actually have, laugh all you want, but it has saved my butt a number of times. I actually have steel cables over the top of my house, crisscross. They are left loose most of the time during the hurricanes. Tighten those babies down a bit. And I'll tell you, the place is rock solid. I've got anchors buried 6 feet in the ground, 3/4-inch steel cable, turnbuckles on them. Tighten it up so it's snug. And nothing goes anywhere. So, do the right things when you have a hurricane, and know when to get out. But if you're gonna ride it out, make sure you're prepared. Do it correctly. Don't go floating down the road.
Well, and they said too, a lot of people too, they said it was get out of Dodge before the people ran out of gas because there was no gas trucks coming in. So, you know, you see some of those roads are still washed out and all that. I mean, so I'm glad that there were still people who lost their lives. Always sad, but it's, you know, good to, I don't know. I wonder if any clowns lost their lives in the hurricane. What do you think about, I mean, this clown thing? That's someone said that last week we reported that clowns are not allowed at Halloween parties and schools, and it's considered a terror, menacing, dangerous threat. I can't turn around without some clown crap being on the news all the time. And when these clowns originally surfaced in Greenville, North Carolina, a lot of people had suggested that these clowns were a hoax. And Terry, we just talked about that a little bit. I mean, some people are out there running around in clown costumes and they're getting shot for it, which is always interesting. But I don't know anyone with a mask these days. I mean, we talked about the culture of fear, many, you know, all throughout this program over time. And it's getting to the point where it's just getting stupid.
It is way past stupid. And, you know, you and I seem to be able to see something that a lot of other people can't. And, you know, hell no, don't fall into the chasm of fear. We have been fed so much fear and loathing in the United States. You know, my God, we live in fear. I'm going to tell you a quick anecdote on that, Nick. This is one very close to me. I have a young fellow who works for me, and when I say young fellow, he's in his mid-20s, and he was going to be alone in a perfectly wonderful house in a rural area very safe rural area, and his mother and father were just beside themselves. Oh my God, you know, the bunny rabbits are going to come and eat you, and you know, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and then the skunk apes are going to get you. And it's like, what is wrong with you people? Guy's 25
well,
years old, for Christ's sake. I've been around the world twice by then.
My friend, yeah. She was over here, and we were just hanging out and being idiots. And her, we put the tent up in the yard, in front of my house, like within a fenced in area. And we put the tent out there, and the kid was begging his mom to let him sleep in the tent alone. I'm like, what's gonna happen, you know? I'm sorry, but the coyotes, yes, we have coyotes and hogs and all that, but they're not going to go to a tent and eat an 11-year-old boy. I mean, that's not what they do. And they're just, again, a lot of kids now, I'd say that they spend too much time indoors, and they haven't spent time playing outside and exploring. I mean, they're taught not to explore, because exploring, you might run into a rusty nail. How many rusty nails I've stepped on and different things, and I don't know, I feel bad for these kids.
Never produced lockjaw, though.
Yeah, well,
mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The clowns, I guess, urban legend, chalk it up to that?
Yeah, I mean,
it's an
urban legend being given life, and just a couple of days ago in Orlando, on one of the campuses, a clown was reported with something that might have been a weapon. And they got there and they searched the whole area. There weren't even footprints. And this is going to become epidemic. People don't have lives anymore. And consequently, and anybody who wants to argue that, I'll be happy to take them on. They start making this crap up. It's just like on the internet.
Well,
and
I want to, speaking of
that,
it
goes everywhere.
Speaking of that, I want to know what, okay, the whole, for years now, we've also been talking about the subterfuge of television news and all the news programs, telling us where the boogeyman's coming from next. And it was the boogeyman has been ISIS for a long time. And funny, all of a sudden, we haven't heard a word. I haven't heard anything about what is the biggest threat and the biggest news story of all time in recent times. I haven't heard a thing. What are they doing? I mean, I don't really go to their Twitter and say, "Hi, ISIS, how are y'all doing today?" Like, but if they're out there and they're such a big threat, which I'm not disputing that they're a threat, but you know, there's a lot of things that you look at the Boston bombing. There's a lot of people who think that was a setup. A lot of people think Sandy Hook, that was a setup. A lot of these. There's so many things where we just wonder what has been orchestrated and staged. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I know a lot of people who believe we never landed on the moon. And you can really spin a conspiracy and just say, oh, it's all made up and all that, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you can say that about just about anything, but I don't know. It's just very convenient that there's absolutely nothing going on in the world and no news other than Donald Trump said he was going to grab your pussy, and I don't know. That's about it.
Oh, my God. Nick.
I say the word pussy? I said pussy.
Oh,
I mean,
my
what?
God. He did it twice. Uh-oh.
Oh, no. See, now I'm the terrorist.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, we look at, and again, now we could flip the other side and say, you know, but there's all this stuff that Hillary Clinton has said much, much worse if you've actually looked at some of the WikiLeaks stuff. And but just no one's going to hear it. I mean, Hillary Clinton could go to the town square and slowly saw the feet off of one-year-olds all day long and throw them in a pile, and people would still vote for her and love her, you know. You look at our media, and, you know, they're just absolutely silent, you know. But if you watch Fox News, you're one of those crazy people. So there's a lot of people who are just saying we're screwed either way. I've been running around registering voters all week long. Today was the deadline, or yesterday rather. And we have such a divided country at this point, and I don't know what could bring us back from that. I've talked to people who have said that they have cleared their Facebook of people that are not on their political side of the fence. I've talked to people who said they have a
view.
Fundamental mistrust of the government, And it's to the point where people, well, they're not going to do anything. Nothing's going to happen. And I think a lot of that ties back to when the banks were all bailed out, you know, too big to fail. Too big to fail, too big to jail, too big to this, too small to, you know. And, you know, some of, I don't know, it just seems like some of these people we have in power in right now can say anything, and there's a whole group of people who will just ignore or believe whatever they say. I mean, there's nothing they can do. Donald Trump said the same thing. He said it in a radio interview. He said, I can go out in the Times Square and, you know, pop off and shoot, you know, 50 people, and the people still vote for me. So it's and you know, maybe it's that we have a bad choice of candidates. We had a Republican meeting today, and a lot of folks said, you know, Donald Trump is not the person we picked, but he's our guy on the ticket. And when we're talking about Supreme Court justices and all this, and you know, here in Texas, what they're terribly worried about is the concept that if you know, if there's not a balance right now, it's going to be pretty close. But if you have big states like Texas that were to turn blue, which it was, when what was was it Lyndon B. Johnson, his presidency when it was? I'm trying to think back.
Would you hold your breath till you turn blue?
You know, no. And but a lot of these people are, fear is that, you know, oh, if that happens, all the electoral votes is, you know, we're all going to like spin off the planets and we'll be in the Antarctica and the buttercups and they dug up with the woolly mammoths and we're all just going to, it's really just, I'm so sick of it at this point that I almost say, I don't care what happens. What are people around you talking about?
Let's go back to nothing to do with the mammoths, poor dears. I wish, by the way, that they would do enough genetic work to try to reproduce one of those guys so we could actually look at it, just to give us a chance to see what they actually look like. That would be very interesting. Likely we will not have that kind of technology for a long time. But anyhow, people have been chaotic. And, you know, most people that I talk to seem to have the view that we are in the worst case of who to vote against that we've been in a long time. And that's what it's going to be. Who are you voting against?
Right.
I, for one, have very little use for Donald Trump per se, but, and as I've said on the radio program before, I did spend 2.5 hours on his jet with him once upon a time. He's not a warm and fuzzy guy. Do I think that he wants the presidency for his self-aggrandizement? Yeah. I think there's no question about it. It's ego-driven. But then again, what president isn't ego-driven? Else they wouldn't be going for that job, the bizarre job. Hillary looks like she's lost her mind. 12 years ago, in the incarnation that was Hillary Clinton then, I might have voted for her. Now she has become like rage with the machine.
Talk about it. I'm just waiting for her to pull out something from under her pantsuit and, you know, like start shooting him or something. I mean, she has become very upset and unhinged. And I mean, wouldn't you be with all the things? I mean, some inside talk. They were planning to go with and deal with Jeb Bush. And that's what she was fixing to go against. Not the, you know, and WikiLeaks. Nope, she didn't expect that. You know, none of the things that were plausible, they were more worried about Rand Paul. It's been said that there's no way that she could have beat Rand Paul. It's been said about Marco Rubio. So within the GOP, we got people like Paul Ryan and a few others who would rather see the GOP tank miserably and have her get it, because if Trump gets in there, Paul Ryan is out of a job. A lot of those other people who are the people they call rhinos, or they call them Republicans in name only, the more more liberal or centrist Republicans, Donald Trump apparently can close loopholes on things or do things that politicians don't normally do. So, you know, it's usually understood, well, we've got our, you know, don't take our candy away from us. Donald Trump's going to take their candy away and slap them in the face, and they're going to be marching right along. You know, and they also talked about today, if Hillary Clinton does win, it's going to be really difficult to get her out of there. So, I mean, I don't – what grand plan – I mean, she may be a sociopath and a liar and mistrust. I mean, I guess, what do you just follow her and watch her like a hawk? Don't let her near a computer? You know, she's got bad judgment. Let's say this, Terry, though. The same – I'm going to make an argument for Hillary Clinton, which no one's ever heard before. The same way that people say Donald Trump likes good judgment and he says things off the cuff and he gets sends out tweets and he gets flipped out all the time. But if he has a good cabinet around him, that's some good stuff, right? If Hillary Clinton is also has ailments and sickness and is crazy and vulgar – I mean, I know people who have been the pilot on her planes – her favorite words are, I'm not going to even say them on this program. I mean, they're really bad. She's very racist, anti-Semitic, and really hates poor people. I mean, like, she literally hates everybody who is her voting core. But, so, put that all aside, you know, no one, she's not running for Pope either. But if she's got a good cabinet around her, is it possible that those people will prevent us from getting totally screwed? Sure. You know, I don't know. You know, is Donald Trump going to get us blown up or is she going to get us blown up? I don't know. But I know a lot of people are just throwing their hands up. A lot of people told me we're screwed either way. So yeah, I don't know what else is going to come out between now and voting day. I mean, there's – I don't think that anybody who – I don't think – not when we're going to get off this topic, but I don't think that anybody – is going to change their mind at this point who they're going to vote for. I think what's going to be the thing that we're going to be surprised by is how many people have come out of the woodwork when they talk about the silent majority. The 12 people that I signed up yesterday to vote and registered them have been native Texans or 20-year-plus Texans who've never voted before because they thought they never needed to. And all of a sudden, I think that Facebook and social media has made this a war between two different sides of our culture. And there are people I know who want Donald Trump to win, so their asshole friend who's been shoving Hillary at them for how long will go and cry in their beer. And I think that that is what's motivating to people to vote. And I think, pardon my French, but fucking sad.
Well, it is, and it goes right back to what I have been preaching forever. It would sure be nice to have another choice or two other choices.
Right.
And it doesn't happen. It just over and over again. It's the same tired old formula. We vote against somebody, not for somebody. And, you know, it's the same thing. Do I want my hand chopped off or my foot chopped off? Let me think about it for a while.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at. Newt Gingrich was on a radio program yesterday. I cannot stomach Newt Gingrich. He's an idiot and a liar. But
I have nothing bad to say about Newt. I like him.
I have plenty of bad things to say about Newt, especially when he was in environmental position. The man's a moron on a good day. He's out there saying, you know, the way we get him to vote for Donald is not by telling him to vote for Donald, but tell him that we need to vote against Hillary. He's saying this crap on the radio. It's like, man, hell no, we don't need any more moronic, divisive assholes. We just don't need that. And regardless of who I would vote for, that is just completely over the line. The man's an idiot. And how the hell he ever got into the position he's in, I have no idea. But he did more damage to our parks and everything else when he sold off thousands of acres of our national parklands to lumber companies. Anybody ever pay attention to that? Several species went extinct because of things that he did.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that.
They never come back. Well, please. I mean, the man.
I'm not aware of it. I'm not disputing it. I just haven't heard about it.
Yeah. But anyhow, enough of that. Enough. One thing we haven't done for a while is say what Terry is reading at the present time. And I'm going to throw a couple of topics at you. For my light reading, I've been reading some Terry Pratchett, who is an amazing satirist. He is as good as they've ever been. And the most recent book that I read was Snuff, S-N-U-F-F. He's a British comedic satirist who writes satirical fiction and fantasy. I've actually got another one of his books that I'm reading, The Amazing Maurice and His Educated Rodents. Just fun stuff, crazy fun stuff. Another book that I've been reading by Esther Friesner is Strip Mauled, M-A-U-L-E-D. Strip Mauled. And it's a collection of short stories about werewolves. One book.
About what? Werewolves?
Yep, lycanthropy, werewolves. Yep.
I thought it was really going to be about Strip Mauled.
I'm also reading, if you can call it that, 50 Great Curries of India. It's a cookbook, and I'm reading through it to see if I can pick up any new ideas, new techniques, fun recipe. Lots and lots of fun. And another book that I'm reading is The Instinct to Heal. That is it's a very odd book. It's the subtitle is Curing Stress, Anxiety, and Depression Without Drugs and Without Talk Therapy. And it's by David Severin Schreiber, MD, PhD.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting book, The Instinct to Heal. And again, David Schreiber. So that's a little bit of what I'm reading right now. And boy, I wish more people were doing it. And it sort of segues into something, which is a new gentleman who I hired just today, actually. And we were talking about this off the air, Nick and I. Nick made a comment today. Nobody knows how to work anymore. Well, I know what he meant by it. I knew what he meant immediately. I agree with him. I hired this gentleman out of a group of 8 candidates, and he was probably the least qualified on paper for the job, yet he was the most qualified in my eyes. And as I told him, I can teach somebody about biology. I can teach somebody about animal welfare and care. I can't teach someone how to be honest. I can't teach someone to have a work ethic, and I can't teach someone loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
This man comes from a farm background. And by the way, he actually spent quite a bit of time in your old haunt up in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. He was from an area near Horicon in Fond du Lac for a while. And he is a rock solid type farm person who has been everything from a quarry worker to a lumberjack, spent 22 years as a farmhand farmer, and is a person who is dependable, is a person who understands that animals don't go home at 5 o'clock, that there are many times when you have to work odd hours or long hours if you have a sick animal or you have an animal giving birth or what have you, whether climate conditions that require it. So folks, the way we are focused on degrees these days, college degrees, advanced degrees, I had one DVM apply. That's Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, for those of you who are picking up on that. I had two other people with master's degrees apply. And I had other people who were alleged enthusiasts when it came to animals. But this guy impressed me with his reality. And I'm not trying to be pretentious when I say that, meaning that he was down to earth. He's not a man who's not intelligent. He's quite intelligent. But he never finished college. He just had a few semesters that he went. I didn't agree with him. He had gone for marine biology. But you turn around, and what's that worth, Nick? That loyalty, that honesty?
Well, it's just help, like someone being able to help. And by the way, we're going to have a shorter show tonight because I'm an idiot and only programmed us for 30 minutes. So we can't go on to, we have a 15-minute window here, but surprise! Because I was dealing with something, and here's just, this is a very typical thing, my short little story here. So I had an issue earlier with, I was trying to haul a Chevy Tahoe 5 miles down the road into town to get it fixed. And put out on Facebook, does anyone have a trailer I can borrow because I don't want to pay for the wrecker to come. And this guy, oh, yeah, come on over, buddy. Come get my – it's like one of these tow dollies, right? So I get this tow dolly, and it's got a winch on it. Well, this thing's like from 1930. It's not doing anything. The winch is old and rusty and broken. It's not working. I'm trying to push this Tahoe. My driveway, it has gravel, and it's on a hill. That's not working. You know, and I'm looking for someone to help. Literally all my neighbors are gone. The one, Pastor Wells, is in Branson. The other guy's in New Orleans. I've been seeing their posts on Facebook. Another person's out in South Carolina. And I was like, well, that's just wonderful. There's no one here to help me. And I went on this Nextdoor app and found a complete stranger. I just put, does anyone want to help me push this Tahoe, trying to get it up onto this trailer dolly? And, you know, I put in my telephone number there, text. I get a guy who helps. You know, it's so funny that how many times we will, it's just having this, the decency to help someone in need, you know, and we used to, like, when you saw someone in trouble, you'd stop and help, please to help, you know, women, these signs, I've got these signs for a charity, it's a Back the Blue thing, and a lot of people want these signs. They're like gangbusters. Everyone loves police around here. They all love these signs. Y'all want them. And everyone's asking me for them. And, you know, can I come to you? Can I pay you? No, I will go to you. Just basic things of being a good person, stopping to help people, being ethical. I registered voters who were Republicans and Democrats. I turned all the things in. I could have taken the people who said they were Democrats, took it in, lost their, you know, voter application, but that's unethical and bad. And, you know, me, I'm a person of faith.
And I
would
have beaten
the
snot out of you for it.
You know, God sees that. God's, you know, boom, you're in big trouble. Let everybody else be liars and cheats and frauds, not me. You know, I'm on my little platform. One of our buddies wants to say hello.
Off your platform. Off your platform.
Off platform.
And how long do we really have?
We really have 13 minutes left. This is our caller in 0619.
We're going to skip music tonight, folks.
Skipping music. Short show. It's like end of school, so everyone getting out for summer. Too bad it's not.
Good Lord.
Good evening, guys.
Hi. How you doing?
Nick, it sounds like you really charged your battery up today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been,
I think he was
just
sniffing the battery acid.
Do you ever have those days when you just have you set your work aside and you just have a couple things you want to get accomplished, but everything gets in the way and you just get very frustrated? And that's where I just want by the end of tonight to get the truck towed to the place and get it fixed.
Well,
I'll be all right. I'll live. Yeah, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, to answer Terry's question from last week, the answer is Robertson.
Yep, that's correct. The question was,
did your homework.
What is the correct term or name for the square drive screws and the square drive screwdrivers? And it's Robertson head screws and Robertson style screwdrivers. So good for you. You won that all expense paid night on the town with Nick, and I don't even want to know
we'll
what the results are.
We'll be voters. Maybe we're door hanging. Ooh.
Yeah, or hanging you from doors. I don't know, or hanging
you
by your door.
I don't know what other topics you guys had planned for tonight, but I was just kind of curious, Terry, with all of your
throw stuff out there,
knowledge of things. Woodworking, metalworking, things like that. What are your two of your favorite things to do, hobby wise, or you know, woodworking, metalworking, that type of thing.
Hmm. Do 6 foot three redheads come into the picture at all?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, you know, I like working metal more than I like working wood. Doesn't mean I don't like working wood. I just like to work metal better. And certainly blacksmithing, as I am fond of telling people on occasion, blacksmithing for me is very much a therapeutic thing. It's sort of like my Valium. Blacksmithing calms me. There's something about taking a piece of red hot, almost yellow hot metal and forming it into something. You're forcing it into another shape. And the hammer control and all the rest of it that goes with it, just something I really enjoy. I always have. Always been fascinated by smiths. As a matter of fact, on an airplane today, I had a catalog out from Astrogal Press. For those of you who don't know about it, that is a company that either reprints or sells books about tools, tooling, woodworking, and old-time procedures. Many of their books are reprints of things from the 1800s. And I was just having a ball going through the latest. It's Astragal, Astrogal Press. And it's a great catalog, and you can find some wonderful things in there. There's a handyman's book that's 800 pages thick that was originally put out by Popular Mechanics back in the 1940s. You can only imagine how many incredible, helpful hints are in that book, stuff that none of us think about.
What more honest and down-to-earth and, you know, no tricks, your projects and solutions and tips do books like that hold that people could learn so much from?
Oh, my God. A wealth of knowledge in a book like that. It's like, you know, in a lifetime, could you learn it all? And these are the tricks and tips from folks who were experts in their field. And many of them are timeless. And many of them have been lost. I have a formulary book that's really interesting. A friend of mine who's a physician saw it and just went crazy over it. And it's actually a reprint of something that was done back in the 1930s. It's a wonderful formulary. And it's like one of those things that you'd like to have with you if you ever went back in time, because you could make almost anything out of it. You had formulas for any damn thing you can possibly imagine. Very thick book and very well researched. And it wasn't just chemical formulary. It was herbal as well, and had just a ton of wonderful information in it, or has a ton of wonderful information. But to answer your question, certainly blacksmithing, as far as just fun and dizzying out and enjoying, probably my favorite of all. That's not to say I don't enjoy chucking something up in the lathe and doing that, or putting something in my shaper or my milling machine, or that certainly does it as well. And I have two things that I like to do. I like to tinker with stuff and in some cases repair it or make it better. But one thing I really hate is fixing stuff that shouldn't be broken, people not doing maintenance. I'm faced with that on a daily basis. People have no clue how to do maintenance. I have two major projects that I have right now because of a young man who worked for me, not believing me when I told him that certain things would happen if he did this or didn't do that. Oh, no, that can't happen. Guess what? I was being overly dramatic. Next thing I know, I got about a $900 bill to correct that over drama on my part. People just don't get it, man. They don't understand. I've got a guy who works for me, and he told me his power steering pump had gone. Where is that? He says. What do you mean, where is that? No wonder it went. You weren't checking your damn fluid, for God's sake. It's you know, it's what we have on the show over and over again. Nick and I have just been beating this to death. People don't know how to do things on their own like they used to. And so many people are just hacks when they do it. Another guy's needed a water pump on his car, and oh my God, he had a friend do it. His friend knew all about how to do it. What he didn't know all about was how to do it on that particular car, because you had two bleeder valves that had to be bled from the top of the engine. Not typical, but they're found on that particular model Pontiac. And it was a disaster, because he got two air pockets on top of the engine and got hot spots and screwed it up royally. Wow. You know, what's wrong with people? What don't you
I
want to
know what's wrong with the people who fly on these airplanes today. We got 5 minutes left. Terry, I want to hear your airplane story, because Terry loves to fly the friendly skies, and he meets great people.
Yeah. Let's not say the friendly skies, because that implies a particular brand of airline.
Right.
We're not talking about a brand of airline here, although we could. I'm not shy about naming names in this. This has happened on Frontier Airlines, both of these instances. It's really hard to get a seat that's even worth sitting in these days in an airplane. But I finally managed to do so coming back from Orlando a couple weeks ago. And people behind me had a child that was about, I'm guessing, a year and a half old. And they were trying to feed him a bottle on the plane. And the kid was fussing and what have you. They had some kind of banana-based fruit juice thing that they were trying to feed this kid. Well, young Sonny is sitting right behind me on Daddy's lap, being stuffed with the bottle, right? The next thing I know, there is an explosion of banana goo all over me, all over the window, all over my clothing. I mean, I'm coated. My hair is dripping with the stuff. The people did not even apologize. They did not even acknowledge that it happened. I mean, I had to go to the restroom, and one of the flight attendants said, you're dripping all over. What's the matter? I said, I'm washing out of my hair. And I explained what happened. She said, I hope they offered to, pay a cleaning bill. I said, not only did they not offer to pay a cleaning bill, they didn't even talk to me. They certainly saw it, because, man, it was the rudest thing you can imagine. You know, baby spit and banana goop. Well, today I get on Frontier Airlines, and behind me are two incredibly intoxicated individuals, husband and wife team, who are both absolutely hammered, arguing, yelling, wasted. Yeah. Now, even letting them on the plane, I would have questioned that they should be allowed on at all. They were teetering, but they get sat down, and then the next thing I know, the flight attendant is serving them more liquor. What's wrong with that picture? You know, we all hear about these people getting wrestled down in the aisles on airplanes and trouble that you got on airplanes. Why in God's name would you serve more liquor, ganged out of their mind, and, here, have two more vodkas. Oh, let's make it a triple. My God, what was going through that flight attendant's mind? The young lady who was sitting next to me just, we just sort of looked at each other in askance and, it's like, what the hell, man? What's wrong with you people? Hell no, we don't need that on airplanes. Those people should have been walked off the airplane and told, when you sober up, we'll put you on another flight. Until then, behave yourself, or you're going to get kicked out of the airport, too. Unbelievable. Really unbelievable. Flying is no longer fun. It's like punishment.
It's no
longer
fun.
We're getting
fun.
Close to our end here. The bitter end, thanks to somebody's
time,
programming.
I know. It's just been one of those days.
I'm sorry to our audience.
I am very, very sorry from the bottom of my heart. It will never happen again to my audience.
Yeah, till tomorrow. anyhow, caller, are you still with us?
Sure am.
Okay. So in three or four words, or maybe a little more, what's your favorite thing? What do you like to do most?
Woodworking, making simple things, birdhouses, tables, benches, using old wood to, pallets, and using reclaiming wood to do those things.
Oh, that's a great idea. I spent the last 4 days just chopping up trees that would make you ill. Thankfully, my neighbor's at least going to put some of them to use. But we lost 17 big trees, and that was just on our road. Boy, oh boy, it was a tough time. It was very ugly, and you hate to see all that lumber go to waste. You like to see it used for something, at least maybe chipped up for paper or something. But yeah, that was tough. It's about time for us to go away because somebody wasn't paying attention. Yep.
We'll be back
all
next
right,
week.
So go find a good W.C. Fields movie. Yeah, watch out for clowns. Hell no, we don't need any more fear. Good Lord. Good night, everybody.
All right, good night, everybody. See y'all later. Bye.